Rothaus comes forward. Miami and FSU for the 64th time. And away we go. It comes down to the 10-yard line. It is Harley across the 15. Harley returns it for the first time out to the 21-yard line. And here comes Jared Williams.
And we're underway here at Hard Rock Stadium. And it goes out the back of the end zone to the Jets to start first and 10 from their own 25-yard line.
Williams to the air, looking, flicks his fingers, lets it go. He's got Thomas out there. It is caught for a touchdown, 40 yards. Fred Williams to Jeff Thomas, a heavenly throw. And Miami strikes first in Tallahassee.
Shotgun from Fitzpatrick again, back to throw. Getting pressure, gets it off, touchdown.
All right.
It's Preston Williams back in the end zone. He was wide open
by himself.
From the six, Williams turns. Gives left side, 3, 2, 1, busting into the end zone, standing up, DJ Dallas, touchdown, Miami.
Back to throw, Fitzpatrick, looking, flips it back, shoulder, caught, touchdown. It's Devontae Parker, what a catch.
All right.
Williams brings him up, windmills his arms a few times, sends Mark Pope wide to the right, turns, play fakes, looking deep, lets it fly for Wiggins, got him, at the 15, at the 10, at the 5, touchdown, Miami! 55 yards, touchdown pass, a heavenly throw from Williams. Jared Williams just gave us Miami Hurricanes magic.
Onside kick.
Onside kick.
15 seconds remaining. The Dolphins lead by 8. Thicket will apply the kick. There it is. A big bounce, and the Dolphins
got it. Devontae Parker
picks it at the 48-yard line, and this game is all but over. The final score, the Miami Dolphins 26, the New York Jets 18, and the first win of the Brian Flores era in Miami.
That's going to be it in Tallahassee. A collector's item for Manny Diaz. His first win as head coach over the Florida State Seminoles. 3 in a row to Miami. And the Hurricane faithful are basking in the joy. Savor the moment. It's Miami 27, Florida State 10. That's your final score at Doak Campbell Stadium. Take it to the house. Take it to the house. 305.
Take it to the house. Oh, we got that five. Take it to the house. And it's a 4-0 win for the Panthers over the Detroit Red Wings. Here tonight at the BB&T Center.
Victory formation for FIU. Wiggins takes the snap. He applies the knee.
The final score, Miami 129. Yes, you heard right, Miami 129, the Houston Rockets 100.
I love how somehow the FIU game snuck in there at the end there, Solana. That's
Paul's
excellent.
Up. Paul's up, Papa.
They barely got by Old Dominion. Let's not get it twisted. They barely got by Old Dominion.
Paul's up.
We're live at Twin Peaks in Davie Man Cave Monday. This hour brought to you by Toyota of Hollywood. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Really fun weekend of sports, if you will. Dolphins, Hurricanes, Panthers. The Heat were ridiculously good last night.
Yes.
They're ridiculously fun to watch. Mm-hmm. There's some good stuff going on right now. I didn't think the Panthers, I should say the Heat, I thought the Panthers were going to be this good. I did not think the Heat were going to be this good and this entertaining so early on. And, man, I was wrong about that.
Nobody did.
Fun as hell.
Who would have thought Kendrick Nunn and Tyler Hero and Myers Leonard now, he had his little coming out game. Nobody thought those names were going to be this good, especially against top competition like the Houston Rockets.
Yep. I mean, they ran them off the court yesterday.
It was 46-14.
Ran them off the court. So, anyway, we're out at Twin Peaks in Davie. We're on University Drive. We will be here till 6 o'clock. Somebody texts in, did Don Bailey Jr. do any calls? He did. Are we going to try to get to him tomorrow, Solana? We're so loaded up tomorrow, huh?
Yeah, I mean, we have to get to them. We have to.
All right, have you heard them?
Yeah.
And they're good?
Yes, sir, yes.
All right, he did good. So we'll get to him tomorrow. Tomorrow's a loaded potato. We're going to be at the Watsco Center. Today's loaded as well. This hour specifically is loaded. John Michaels is going to join us in about 10 or 15 minutes, talk about the Hurricanes game. He was in Tallahassee. Manish Mehta, who covers the New York Jets for the New York Daily News, he's going to join us this hour and eviscerate Adam Gase, I would imagine. So, and somebody just texts in. You guys didn't mention that the Patriots lost. There was some weird stuff in the NFL yesterday. Green Bay got run off the field. All of a sudden, they didn't have an offense. The Baltimore Ravens, I mean, that's a real legit threat, right? I mean,
oh, heck yeah.
They're doing it every which way.
And that wasn't a fluke. That wasn't a good game. That's their offense, and they've been doing that for a while. But before the game, I was watching it last night, and they were talking about how that's kind of Belichick's defense's Achilles heel is running quarterbacks. And I was like, okay, well, you're saying that Belichick knows it. Like, he's not dumb. They didn't figure it out because Lamar Jackson went crazy last night.
Went crazy.
Does that make the Ravens the best team in the NFL? Because everybody was saying it was either the Patriots or the 49ers.
Right. I mean, he's such a threat. Mm-hmm. They're in the conversation.
And that defense, too. With Earl Thomas back there now, that front seven, that defense is –
the best team in the NFL?
That defense isn't Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Terrell
but
Suggs
it's still
defense.
A hellified defense.
It is a hellified defense. And with Lamar Jackson doing what he's doing, Mark Ingram. I have to say, man, if you knock off the top guy, that don't make you the top guy? In boxing, if you beat the best guy,
right.
You're the champion then.
Right. I mean, would you take – if it was an AFC championship game, would you take – Baltimore over New England right now?
Yes, I just watched it last night.
Because of what they did to him last night.
Yes, I just watched it.
Yeah, I don't know if I can.
It's tough.
I mean, you know, Tom Brady, it's kind of the.
But you know what they did? They hit him.
Well, we've said it a million times, and especially this season, it's very apparent. He does not want to get hit. He's trying to get rid of the ball as fast as he can. But, yeah, they hit him last night, and then it changes everything for New England. On the converse, who's the worst team in the NFL?
Ooh.
Is Jets. It Cincinnati for sure?
Well, Cincinnati. The Jets look so bad.
I mean, it's weird. I don't think the Dolphins are in the conversation.
No. No.
Because the Jets look like they've given up.
Yes.
The Bengals look like they never got there in the first place. Like, the Falcons are god-awful.
They are.
I don't know if the Dolphins are the worst team in the league.
They're not. I can't. Like you're saying, it's a fight on who's the worst, but the Dolphins aren't in that conversation. The Redskins, they're not that. Like the Dolphins play
right.
them.
And if Dwayne Haskins plays the rest of the season and they say that he's not ready, yeah, there's – yeah, you got some bad teams in the NFL. You got some good teams, you got some bad teams.
There's four terrible teams.
Did you pop open a funky Buddha last night after the Dolphins win?
Yes.
And I know you didn't pop one open on Saturday after your Florida Gators lost.
No. I mourned.
With a funky Buddha.
I mourned with a funky Buddha. Celebrate with a funky Buddha.
They've got a charity event tonight. We mentioned it last week, and I wanted to mention it again. Funky Buddha Brewery. It's tonight with Devon Godshow from the Dolphins. His charity, the Chowdown Foundation, which is pretty cool. CHAUX.
Yeah.
They're hosting a trivia night at the Funky Buddha Brewery in Oakland Park tonight. $15 donation gets the to the charity, gets you in the trivia, and you get a free pint glass and beer. They're going to do raffles for all sorts of cool Dolphin swag, like signed footballs and gear. They've got Funky Buddha prizes as well. They're going to have a lot of Dolphins in attendance.
Yeah.
I'm sure they're not afraid to show their faces this week. So that is tonight at Funky Buddha Brewery. We love it there. But big charity event for Devon Godshow and his foundation. So if you're looking for a little place to hang out tonight, there you go.
Yes.
Devon Godshow and Funky Buddha Brewery.
And go support him. A lot of guys wait. Like, I know I got into charity when I was playing. A lot of guys don't, you know, get into it because they're playing. They're trying to get their name and all. Devon's been down here his rookie year. He came down here and started doing charity. If you are free tonight, go support Devon and his focus, you know, on the Chowdown Foundation. But also, you're at Funky Buddha Brewery too. So, like, you're supporting somebody. You're getting free beer, but it's delicious beer. The food's amazing there. Trivia night. I know there's prizes. You get to meet Dolphins. But go support this young man because I love when a young guy really cares about the community and cares about other people while he's playing. A lot of people wait till they finish.
What about the Browns? Are they one of the worst teams in the league or they're just –
They're bad, but then you see the Jets.
Like, right,
they can't
not on
be that,
that level.
Bad.
But,
yeah.
Man, the Browns are – that's the biggest disappointment. The Browns or the Bears? Biggest disappointment this season.
Bears because they had more proven entities that are like, bro, think of that Bears defense.
Khalil Mack.
They have monsters over there. Yeah. The linebacker, Floyd, Leonard. No, boy, they have the DBs. What, Fuller led the NFL in interceptions last year. Like, they have legit proven talent on the Bears.
The Browns have proven talent as well.
Yeah.
I mean, they do. I don't know if it works, if it all meshes together. I can tell you it doesn't mesh together through eight games. But they're a huge disappointment as well.
I wonder when people start giving up on Mayfield.
Yeah, well, that's going to happen before anybody gives up. Well, they're giving up on Freddie Kitchens, right? So that's going to be the first domino to fall there.
Yeah.
Freddie Kitchens, he's in over his head. That's a bad hire. The next domino, I think, would be Baker Mayfield.
Has to.
Yeah.
Because Baker, on that, and there was a fourth down, he threw it to Jarvis in the double coverage. Odell Beckham was wide open.
And Odell, like, yeah, he is going to be frothing at the mouth if that continues to happen. He doesn't get targeted enough.
He's going to get hot. We knew we play all our radio interceptions. When we throw radio touchdowns, we have to bring it out. We called this with Freddie Kitchens as soon as they got rid of him, as soon as they got rid of Hugh Jackson, all those guys, brought in all this talent, we said, is Freddie Kitchens ready to run a team with this much ego and this much personality? No, 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 and you're seeing it right now.
Yeah, the answer seems to be no. Let's get headlines here with Alejandro Solana.
Headlines are brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Head coach Brian Flores, of course, of the Miami Dolphins, he spoke about 2 hours ago. The big news of the press conference, Preston Williams will be out for the remainder of the season for the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, that is a legit bummer. He's one of the few bright spots for the Dolphins this season.
As for the Indianapolis Colts, who are the Miami Dolphins' next opponent this upcoming Sunday, their quarterback Jacoby Brissett suffered an MCL sprain yesterday. He has not been ruled out officially for Sunday's game versus Miami.
I wonder how that line changes if it's Hoyer and not Brissett.
Hoyer threw 3 touchdowns after Brissett's injury yesterday.
Brissett's such a better quarterback, though, than Hoyer.
Yeah. It didn't look like yesterday, though. Maybe, you know what, maybe we can capitalize on that knowledge.
You know what? The line is 10.5. Colts are 10.5-point favorites. I thought I saw that at 16.5, or am I making that up, Solana?
I didn't see the line at 16. I only saw it at 10.
Okay, maybe it's 10.5. I may be making
that makes
up.
Sense, though. Backup quarterbacks drops it a touchdown, 6 points.
But I may be making that up. I'm not certain. What else you got, Solana?
Monday Night Football, of course, is tonight. It's the Cowboys at 4-3 on the road in New York to face the Giants. They're 2-6. Cowboys head into New York, 6.5-point favorites. 8:20 p.m. kickoff time.
Are we betting that game?
We should. Dallas got beat by the Jets.
I know, but I like Dallas in that game, though.
I do, too.
I don't know. All right, what else you got?
The Miami Heat are set for a 3-game West Coast road trip beginning tomorrow in Denver. Tip-off is at 9 p.m. That'll be followed by Phoenix on Thursday, and then we get to see Jimmy Butler face off versus LeBron James. That's on Friday. And the Florida Panthers are off until Thursday to host the Capitals from the BB&T Center.
Very good. And you got weather?
Weather is brought to you by Hialeah Park right now in South Florida. It is currently partly cloudy. Tonight, the low again will drop to 78 degrees, 66% humidity right now in the area. But good air quality, so we have that going for us.
Excellent.
Win a brand new $45,000 Mercedes-Benz at Hialeah Park Casino. Get free entries every Saturday and earn more entries for playing slots every day now through November 30th. Grand prize Mercedes-Benz giveaway Saturday, November 30th.
We're going to talk with John Michaels in the next segment. He's a longtime radio host in Atlanta, but a diehard Hurricanes fan, grew up down here. Probably talks too much Hurricanes on Atlanta radio for his own good. But he was in Tallahassee, took his family to the game, and we've had him on after every Hurricanes game, and I figure this one he'll be grinning from ear to ear, as most Hurricanes fans are. So we'll talk some Canes with John Michaels in a moment. I want to talk about Camp USA Motorhome Rentals first, though, because you know you can rent an amazing luxury RV, and it all starts with you going to see my friends Sherry and Steve. They're at Camp USA Motorhome Rentals in Pompano Beach. Their beautiful RVs provide the comforts of home. They're nicer than a lot of hotel rooms you'd ever stay in. You can get an RV with a full kitchen, a king or queen size bed. They got the flat screen TVs. I mean, it is traveling in luxury. I don't know how else to say it. And you got fall. Fall is here, obviously. So maybe you're thinking about a trip over Thanksgiving break. That's just a few weeks away. So you definitely want to get that planned. Maybe you're going to see friends and family up where it's a little bit chillier. Or maybe you're thinking about a trip for Christmas or New Year's. That would be an amazing RV getaway. And if you're thinking about that, if you're starting to peruse that idea, I would head on over to Camp USA Motorhome Rentals this week, take a look at what they have, and get something reserved because they will sell out for the holidays. Camp USA Motorhome Rentals, they've been doing it over 15 years, located just off the Coconut Creek Parkway exit on the Turnpike. You can call them at 954-520-0075, or you could check them out online at campusarv.com. If you currently own an RV, you need parts or service, they got you. If you're interested in renting out your RV, you can call them, get more info on their rental program. But there it is, Camp USA Motorhome Rentals in Pompano Beach. I would highly recommend, if you're thinking about a Christmas or New Year's getaway in an RV, call them and get something scheduled. 954-520-0075 or online at campusarv.com. Going to talk Hurricanes with John Michaels next on Hockman and Crowder.
It's wherever you want to go.
We're live in Twin Peaks in Davie. It's a Man Cave Monday. Having a good time as we always do. John Michaels is going to join us here momentarily. He's a longtime radio host. You can hear him nationwide on SB Nation Radio. And you can hear him in Atlanta on 680 The Fan. And you could read his work at stateoftheu.com. So, John Michaels, for those of you that don't know, longtime radio host in Atlanta. But like I said, grew up in South Florida, diehard Miami Hurricanes fan. He's got the U tattooed on his body, and he named his kid Kane. And he took a family trip to Tallahassee.
Yes, beautiful family.
From Atlanta. Yes, beautiful family. Took a family trip to Tallahassee for the game on Saturday, and he was tweeting out that he was happy that his kids got to see him just as a fan, not working, and that he was, you know, as all of us Hurricanes fans were, just enjoying every single moment of that Canes FSU game.
Dominated from the opening whistle, that's why.
You can follow him on Twitter, John Michaels U, and he is with us right now. So you had a good time in Tallahassee with the family?
There is nothing better. A, we all have kids, and to see the joy on your kids' faces, you know, and my kids don't follow football the same way that I do, but them seeing me happy in turn made them happy. And then to see all of the people that live in trailer parks in Quincy, Florida, and South Georgia, having their head buried up their own rear end, that stupid Seminole chop was quiet. I loved every single second of a long day in Tallahassee.
Somebody texts in, how many fights has this dude been in with FSU fans in the past years? I'm guessing at least 7.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, John likes to throw it down, right?
No, I'll throw it down if need be. When I'm at the game, I'm there to watch the game. I'm screaming for my team. You know, I always tell my wife this. I get 13, if everything goes great, 15, which it hasn't gone great in a long time, 15 games out of the year. Out of 365 days a year, I get 15 Saturdays where I can cheer for Miami. I'm not at a game trying to fight. I drink, I talk trash, and I go home. I've only had one or two instances where some idiot frat boys would come up and maybe try to do something. Then they realize I'm not a little guy, and I'm not afraid to throw hands. So that typically there becomes that line where they realize if I walk much closer, this guy's going to hit me. And, Hawk, that's strategic for me. I look crazy for a reason, and that's so I don't actually have to fight anybody.
Man, I wish I knew that trick.
Right?
I got locked up a number of times.
Is that the best game you've seen the Hurricanes play all season, right? It was the most complete game.
Yeah, absolutely. It was the game that we exactly wanted. It's how they were supposed to play, and it's what has really aggravated me. I was going to say something really that would have got us all in trouble here with Entercom. It's what aggravates me throughout the year. Had they played like this, at worst, they're 8-1. I thought they gave that kind of effort against Florida. Florida's obviously a much better football team than Florida State is. But where was this effort against Georgia Tech? Where was this effort against North Carolina? Where was this effort in the first half against Virginia Tech? They were focused, and I read some of the quotes that said, pregame, the focus for the team reminded the coaching staff of the focus that they had in against Notre Dame in 2017. And it almost goes back to the psyche of the 18 to 22-year-old. It's easy when you see Florida State on the other side and you see DJ Matthews talking trash about our defensive backs and LeBurn talking trash about they're going to beat Miami for our kids to focus. Maybe we need to start getting people to talk trash about this school week in and week out, and they'll start playing like the team that we want them to be. That's what I need to have happen if you're the University of Miami. I loved what I saw. Defensively, are you kidding me? Greg Russo is the second best defensive lineman in college football right now, just behind Chase Young. Now it's just a matter of can he end up being a guy that continues as a sophomore next year to elevate himself to be a first-round pick.
And was that injury? I was going to ask you about Greg Russo. Have you talked to anybody about him? Because, what, he has 7 sacks in the last 2 games and only 5 in the first 4? Like, what happened with Greg? How did he take off in the last 2 weeks like he has?
You know, part of it is just getting an opportunity. He finally started playing full-time more against the University of Virginia 4 weeks ago. Those first few weeks we kept hearing about he's a freshman and he hasn't got all the intricacies of being a defensive end. I don't need intricacies when I got a guy 6'6", 250 pounds, who runs like a gazelle and can go get the quarterback. But damn an intricacy. Let that guy go get a quarterback. And, you know, you wonder what they were seeing in practice that we didn't see for quite some time. I love it. A lot of people up here are going, wow, what is he? And I tell him, I say, he's a redshirt freshman. And they go, what? I said, yeah, this is his first 4 or 5 real games in college football. He's got 12 sacks. Chase Young, who many people are hyping for the Heisman Trophy, has 13 and a half. He's got a real good chance of breaking Dan Stubbs' single-season record of 17, because you got to get a game against FIU where you can probably get a couple of sacks there. You play Duke, you might be able to get 1 or 2 there, and Louisville's probably going to give you 1 or 2. This kid's having one of the most amazing seasons we've seen, and he's only had an opportunity really in 4 games to get major playing time.
John Michaels, you can hear him on 680 The Fan in Atlanta or nationwide on SB Nation Radio. Jaren Williams, Crowder and I were talking about this earlier in the show. He's the real deal, yes?
Absolutely. He looked like – it's amazing what happens when a kid actually has time to throw the football. I mean, think back. The beginning of the year, what did we give up, 17 sacks or something like that in the first 2 weeks? Now all of a sudden the kid's able to step into a pocket and throw the ball. How many people that you guys deal with down there on your text line or tweet to you, Jaren Williams has no arm. He can't throw the ball. Well, I watched 2 dimes, one of them about 40 yards down the field to Jeff Thomas, another one plus 50 down the field to D. Wiggins, where he hit those guys on the money, on the run, where nobody could make a play on the ball but them. Jaren looked like the real deal. And I get it. Tallahassee is not the same as it was in 2013 or 2002. It's still an intimidating environment when there's close to 80,000 people and about 70,000 of them are screaming against you. Goes to show you what happens when you start on the road against Florida in a neutral site, and I use air quotes with that. You go on the road to North Carolina. I think the game has finally slowed down for Jaren. I think those 2 weeks of being hurt maybe gave him a perspective standing off to the side watching the game that's helped him. This kid's a redshirt freshman as well. We got to feel like we're in good hands with some of these young guys moving forward. Are we going to need some senior leadership? Sure. But I like what I see out of some of the young players from Miami.
And it seems like Dan Enos figured out DJ Dallas is awesome because he gave him 18 rushing attempts. He had 2 catches, 20 touches. I don't know if he had 20 touches in the game since he's been at Miami, John. Like, I think that's what started Jaren's big run.
But, Channing, here's the thing. What took him so long? What have they not seen from DJ Dallas to think that he's awesome? Going into, I think it was 2 weeks ago, against either Virginia Tech or Virginia, he was averaging 11 touches a game. How can you not get that kid the ball more? He is one of the truest hurricanes that's on the football team. He's a guy that if you're in an alley and there's like 13 guys ready to fight you and it's just you and somebody off of Miami's team, I probably want DJ Dallas because I know he's going to go down swinging. I love the way that he runs the ball. You know, he's not a top-end speed guy like McGahee or Portis. There's not many players that were like those two. But he's a guy that if you continue to feed him, he's going to average 5-6 yards a run, even behind a mediocre offensive line. And what I like that Enos has done, and I know I've banged on Enos a bunch on your program, what I like that he's done is he's found the screen game. That slowed down teams' pass rushes just enough, and it's another way to get DJ Dallas involved.
John Michaels is with us. The season is totally different. I made this point on Friday, I think, with Crowder. The season is totally different now with a win over FSU, correct? Because the narrative can be there was some adversity, but Manny Diaz got it right when he needed to. Obviously, you'd like the victory over Florida, but, you know, that was a long shot at best. But to beat FSU in his first season and seemingly and did so, by the way, in dominant fashion, but to seemingly get everything clicking after facing some adversity, that feels like the narrative on the season is totally different.
I have to see how the last three games play out. You win this game, and then you go 1-2 down the stretch, and you limp into the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl. The narrative isn't good. You beat Louisville, FIU, and Duke like you're supposed to. You finish 8-4. Maybe you go to the Camping World Stadium for their bowl, or you're in the Gator Bowl in Jacksonville. Yeah, the narrative completely changes. I like the fact that you dominated. And, you know, driving home, of course, I'm on a high. I've got a 4.5-hour road trip back. The kids and the wife are passed out. I've got a 16-ounce Red Bull and a bag of Wendy's. Like, that's the dinner of champions. But I'm sitting there thinking, I go, we haven't blown out Florida State since 2001. We haven't had a dominant victory like that over them since 01. It's really nice to see that. And, again, if they can carry this momentum, take the Pitt win, take the Florida State win, end the season on a winning streak, think what happened at the end of Mark Richt's first year. They ended on a 5-game winning streak. They were 9-4 after the bowl game, and it springboarded them into the next year where all of a sudden Miami felt like they could win, and they went out and actually won, and that's when they had the 10-game winning streak. I think you can see something positive like this, especially with all the young guys that we're talking about. These guys are coming of age. They're realizing what it takes to win in the ACC. I get it. Florida State stinks. But we're always going to have over them. We beat you so bad you fired your sorry-ass coach at the end of the weekend.
Somebody texts in, he's seen you in at least 50 fights with Saints fans.
Now that may be true.
You can tell John will slap somebody.
Oh, man, he doesn't have time for nonsense.
He's on the air. He's acting all calm. Yeah, John, you done slapped the hell out of plenty of people,
you
man.
You got no
lying.
Time for nonsense.
I will not confirm nor deny ever physical violence when it comes to an opposing fan.
John Michaels, follow him on Twitter, John Michaels U. Thank you for making time for us, John. We always have fun.
Anytime, guys.
There you go, John Michaels. I want to make sure we had enough time for Manish Mehta, who's scheduled to join us in the next segment. Manish Mehta, you know, if you follow him on Twitter or read his stuff in the New York Daily News, when the Jets hired Adam Gase, he's one of the only writers, maybe the only writer in New York, that said the Jets got it right. And it wasn't even preseason before he started questioning his own thought on that. And now it is to another level. Like, he is leading the charge of that Adam Gase is in way over his head campaign.
Yes.
So Manish Mehta from the New York Daily News, he is going to join us in the next segment. I'm looking forward to that.
If ED got you down, things over at Advantage Medical Partners, they are looking up, and that is pun intended. They have the latest patented and proven effective treatments for ED that really increase blood flow and generate new blood tissue naturally, and they last. It's not for one night. It's not for one week. It is ED treatment that lasts. This is not your typical ED clinic. There's no needles, there's no surgery, there's no nonsense. And today through Thursday, if you call Advantage Medical Partners or if you go to AdvantageMedicalPartners.com, you will get 20% off your treatment. Experience a better love life. At any age, any medical conditions, experience a better love life. That's what you want. Solutions include the most popular GainWave. You've heard about GainWave. They have it, and it does work. They also have testosterone replacement and anti-aging therapies. Having ED is not a curse. There's not a wizard putting that on you. You're choosing to have ED because Advantage Medical Partners can get rid of it. Holidays are just around the corner, so you need to get your love life back. You can enjoy those times of year with that love life, and Advantage Medical Partners will help you out. Give them a call. No needles, no surgery, no nonsense, and 20% off until Thursday. Call in today. Your doctor's consultation is free. If you mention the ad, your first treatment's free, and like I said, 20% off until Thursday. Give them a call at 888-55-FIX-ED. That's 888-55-FIX-ED. Or go to AdvantageMedicalPartners.com. No needles, no surgery, no nonsense. Just get right. ED is a choice. Why don't you choose Advantage Medical Partners?
The The tweet I just sent out, I think, says it all. We've just been spinning our wheels today to get to this next segment. Manish Mehta covers the Jets for the New York Daily News. He hates Adam Gase.
You can't say that.
And he's going to join us next on Hockman and Crowder. Back live at Twin Peaks in Davie, a Man Cave Monday. And as I tweeted out, we've been waiting all day for this segment. Actually, yesterday after the game, I tweeted out, somebody book Manish Mehta for all 4 hours quickly. And the response was great. Yeah, I'd listen and then listen over. And so we never do this. Manish Mehta covers the Jets for the New York Daily News. We had him on Friday. We never have someone on two shows in a row. I don't care who it is. We don't have Michael Irvin on two shows
no.
in a row.
Well, Manish is worth it.
Well, I just
he's worth it.
There was two things I wanted during the game yesterday. I wanted a pay-per-view feed of just Adam Gase, and I wanted a pay-per-view feed of just Manish Mehta. And watch, because there was this voyeuristic thing going on there. But I figured we'd have him on today, not just because we took some weird joy in watching what was going on with Adam Gase playing Sudoku on the sidelines when his defense is out there, but I think Manish needs to come on for his own sanity. Like, I think he needs to verbalize what he's feeling. So he writes for the New York Daily News, and he's with us now. Hello, Manish.
We're making history, guys. Two shows in a row, right?
Yep, we are making history. I've been looking forward to this all day. So what was your take, like your overall take? I mean, I saw the headlines and I read the stuff that you wrote, but your overall take for people that don't read your stuff here in South Florida was what yesterday?
Adam Gase is an absolute disgrace. That's probably the simplest way of me putting it. The team wasn't prepared. They didn't make any adjustments. They're undisciplined. You guys watched the game.
Yeah.
You almost kind of felt like they were playing the 72 Dolphins, right? Not the 2019 Dolphins. But just when you think it can't get any worse, we see what unfolded yesterday. It was such an embarrassment. I know that privately this obviously meant a lot to Gase because he wanted to stick it to Stephen Ross. Ironically, Stephen Ross stuck it to him, which I thought was poetic justice in many ways. But the Jets have a really big issue here because their quarterback is regressing, and obviously Adam Gase was hired specifically to take Sam Darnold to the next level, and he looks every bit like a rookie. He looks nothing like the player we saw in December when he was trending up, and that's a clear indictment, in my estimation, of Adam Gase.
Manish, the players like him. As I was watching the game, like there was no, you know, there's no high fives, there's no talking, there's no, you know, one on ones. Like he just stays on his little iPad. Do you get the feeling the players enjoy being around Adam Gase?
I'll put it this way: there are too many players in that locker room who do not respect him. I think that's the fairest way for me to characterize it. Because look, there's 60 guys in that locker room. You know, everyone's got a different personality. But I think there's enough players who matter on this team who do not respect him, and they don't respect him because they see kind of through his act. And it takes maybe a little bit longer for some guys to, you know, figure out their coach. You know, some guys make a really good first impression. Clearly that's Adam Gase. But once, you know, you get down to the nitty-gritty, and just once you see how he handles different situations as a player – you kind of see through the BS. I mean, that's a pretty blunt way of putting it. But, again, there's enough players in there who matter who do not respect him.
And does Gase know how visually unappealing it is for him to sit there by himself on the bench while his team, him being the head coach, his defense is playing, his special teams is out there, and he's playing on the iPad? Does he understand how bad that looks?
Hey, man, those Sudoku puzzles aren't going to fix themselves.
Well, look, this is what I'll say about that. I don't take issue if you have an offensive-minded coach who's sitting with his quarterback when the defense is on the field. You see Andy Reid do that with Patrick Mahomes. You've seen Sean McVay do that with Jared Goff. It was just unusual. It's not unprecedented, but it was unusual for the coach to be all by himself, not have anybody around him, not have his quarterback, not have any offensive players around him. It was a bad visual, and you know the optics are terrible there, and I know a lot of people have picked up on that over the last 24 hours, but you know, I think that's the least of Adam Gase's worries. The bigger issue is that he is really not a leader in any way, and I thought that he was. You know, the information I got during the search process, you know, you kind of trying to get as much information on candidates as possible, as fast as possible. I wish I had the benefit of more time, because over the last 10 months, there's so many instances, you know, that I'm not at liberty to report, but so many things that I've heard behind the scenes that leads me to believe that he really has not learned very much from his first time as a head coach. I thought that maybe he would grow and evolve. I don't want to definitively say that that can't happen, but a lot of the things that I'm hearing about what's going on seems to be a repeat of what happened in Miami.
Manish Mehta covers the New York Jets for the New York Daily News, and he references there kind of what you had done at the beginning of the – well, I shouldn't say the beginning of the season, but when they hired – when the Jets hired Adam Gase, you were one of the few, if not the only writer in New York that said the Jets got it right. But you have since changed your opinion. You've become a very harsh critic. Friday, I think I asked you if he might be a one-and-done coach, and you said no – you couldn't see that happening. Have you changed your mind on that?
You know, it really just depends on whether Woody Johnson, the owner, who's over in London, and his brother, who's in charge for the moment, Christopher, are swayed by fan sentiment. The Jets fans are very passionate and very vocal. I think they get a bad rap in that people think that they're too reactionary. But I think if you look at recent history – at, you know, the people that they were not happy with, whether that was John Idzik, the former general manager, or Todd Bowles, you know, Mike Maccagnan. I mean, all of these guys who they have disliked have not gone on to do much at other places. So I think that their, you know, disgust and their hatred, for lack of a better word, is warranted. So it really depends on whether the Johnson brothers are swayed by public opinion. I have a sense and I have a feeling that you're going to see some billboards and some planes flying above head over the next week or so asking to fire Adam Gase. You know, that had a tangible impact on Woody Johnson a few years ago when he fired the general manager, John Idzik, after a short run. So I think that's really what's going to happen over the next 2 months. And, of course, the product on the field. Now, they have a lot of cupcakes, but I thought the Dolphins were a cupcake. You know, they've got another game against the Dolphins. They got the Bengals, the Redskins, the Raiders are actually looking pretty good, but they got the Giants coming up. So these are not world beaters, but clearly the Jets are not a world beater either.
Does the Jets' performance yesterday against the Dolphins, in your opinion, begin and end with Adam Gase?
Well, look, there's a lot of culprits. You never want to say it's on one person, whether it's the coach or the quarterback, but I think he's mostly responsible for it. But a lot of people had a hand in it. Sam Darnold made poor decisions. I can make a pretty solid case that a lot of those poor decisions were because the head coach did not put him in good positions with play calls and play designs and things of that nature. The defense was not good, so you can't absolve Greg Williams either. They made Mike Gesicki look like Tony Gonzalez, and you know, they made Preston Williams look like Julio Jones. So, you know, the players certainly are not blameless in all this. The execution was poor, but I just think, again, the preparation and the lack of in-game adjustments. You know, the idea of Ryan Fitzpatrick finding Preston Williams in one-on-one coverage against Darrell Roberts over and over again, it must have been so painful for the Jets fans to watch.
And I would imagine Adam Gase had his press conference today in New York. Did he say anything revelatory?
Well, I mean, to add insult to injury or to injury to injury, it looks like Le'Veon Bell, you know, had an MRI today on his knee. I don't know what the severity is, but in terms of how close or how far the team is from being competitive or being a winning team, to hear Adam Gase say, you know, Sam Darnold's only a player or two away, and I know he's trying to take an optimistic viewpoint here, but the reality is that there are a lot of problems on this team. It's not just one or two plays. It's not just one or two people. And you just touched on it a few minutes ago. I don't believe that Adam Gase is galvanizing anybody in that building. There's no juice. There's no life. And I think a lot of that is because, obviously, of what the product is on Sundays. But, again, you can spot a phony when it comes to leadership when you see it over time. You know, you can con somebody in the beginning, and I know that that probably applies to what Adam Gase did to Christopher Johnson in getting this job ultimately. But he's not a leader. I cannot see any redeeming leadership qualities from this person. From everything I've seen, everything I've heard, he doesn't comport himself like a leader in any fashion.
And Manish, talking about, you know, the bad teams in this league, there's a lot of cupcakes out there, but there's about four or five that are bad. You know, the one-win teams, you know, we know all of them. Do you think if the Jets fall in that category and stay in that category as the season moves on, they would ever think about replacing Sam Darnold already?
No, I don't think so. Channing, it's not going to happen unless Sam Darnold gets hurt. I think the overwhelming sentiment inside the organization is that they will side on the quarterback, with the quarterback, over the head coach. So this is not going to be any kind of scenario where Adam Gase gets to cut bait here and use Sam Darnold as a scapegoat and draft another quarterback for him to develop. That's never going to happen. Adam Gase will be long gone before Sam Darnold is gone. They believe in this player. They invested a lot in this player. This player has shown flashes of a terrific play. But again, he has regressed. And why has he regressed? What's the big change in Sam Darnold from year one to year two? The head coach, the play caller. So I think there's a overwhelming sentiment inside the organization that Sam Darnold has a chance to be a very good player, a franchise quarterback, and there's no way that they would cut ties with him before they cut ties with Adam Gase.
Manish Mehta, you can read his work in the New York Daily News. So are you okay? You good?
I'm fine. I just want to know when Christopher Johnson is going to speak. He's the one who called Adam Gase the innovator, and he's hiding like Punxsutawney Phil. So I want to see when he comes out of his hole here and actually shows some leadership and accountability himself.
All right. Well, have some fun up there.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
See you. Manish Mehta there from the New York Daily News. We're at Twin Peaks in Davie, and we are just a few minutes away from opening up the Funky Buddha 5 o'clock happy hour, which is always a good time. So and I see this place is starting to line up with people. Always a good crowd Monday nights for Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
Won't they do the lineup soon?
I knew what you were looking for, peeking out there talking about the people.
It's usually about 4:45.
I feel like
we're a few minutes late. I usually have the best view in the
raining,
house.
It's raining. Maybe the call. Ready to give them 5-10 more minutes for the lineup.
Let me talk about the Cheetah here before we get to the 5 o'clock happy hour. Cheetah Gentlemen's Clubs invite you to celebrate the Marine Corps' 244th birthday and Veterans Appreciation with a VIP party like no other at Cheetah Hallandale on Thursday, November 14th. You can enjoy an open bar 8 till 9 p.m., a lavish gourmet buffet from 6 till 10 p.m., cake cutting ceremony, platinum VIP card giveaways, and, of course, over 100 of the most beautiful exotic adult entertainers in South Florida. That's November 14th at Cheetah Hallandale. I remind you every day, got to make Cheetah Hallandale your free lunch hotspot. Why would you pay for lunch with an unpleasant view? You can enjoy a gourmet lunch menu for free every day, 11:30 till 3, happy hour until 6. If you haven't been there yet, this is not your typical free lunch. This is a full-on kitchen with chefs. On the menu are things like sliders, burgers, wings, salads, sandwiches, not to mention their daily specials like barbecue ribs, pasta carbonara, seafood pastas, and more. Got to check it out, see for yourself. Now, tonight, in the Biz Guests, you can enjoy 25% off your entire bar tab, $100 bottle specials, free admission, and more. That's tonight and tomorrow night at Cheetah. The place for In the Biz workers is the Cheetah. And, hey, are you a VIP yet? Cheetah Gentlemen's Clubs. Guys, this is the VIP membership you want to get in on. No waiting to get in, free admission, exclusive VIP parties, special events, and more. If you want more details, you can check out their website at cheetahsofl.com. 5 o'clock, Funky Buddha Happy Hour is next on Hockman and Crowder.